take your hymnal and turn to hymn number 128. Hallelujah, what a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransomed home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing, hallelujah, what a Savior. The next thing that came to my mind is over in the book of Revelation where the bride says, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Oh, that he would come this day, receive his people unto himself, and deliver them not only from their sins, but from the very presence of sin. We have some people that are sick, and we ask the Lord's mercies on all of them. Some that have some of our brethren and friends that have lost loved ones, and we grieve with them. Ask the Lord's help to stay them up and enable them to carry on. We just rejoice in God's goodness and His wisdom in dealing with all His people. We're thankful that He does all things right. We pray for all of them and the Lord's blessings to them. On the service tonight, we pray that He would be magnified and glorified. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we come tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as our mediator, as our great High Priest. We come before you only in His merits, in His name, based on His worthiness and none of our own. We pray that you would hear us for Christ's sake. We're not only not worthy, but we don't even know how to pray. except to pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank You for Your dear Son that You have sent to be the Savior of Your people. We thank You for His sinless sacrifice. We thank You for His completed work of redemption. We thank You for His present intercession for us. And we know that on the basis of His person and work, that You will receive and that You will hear and that You will help all of His sheep. Him being the great, the chief, the good shepherd of His sheep, and laying down His life for the sheep, assuring that they shall have eternal life. Father, we lift up these that we have mentioned, and we pray for each one of our number that are sick and weak. We are an aging people, and we ask Your help. We ask, as the psalmist said, that You would help us down to old age. We pray that You might be pleased in our day to give strength for the days. And not only, Lord, for all here, but for all Your saints gathered in every place, redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We ask that You would help and bless and keep and be with each and every one in all of their troubles and trials and afflictions of life. We ask that tonight we might be enabled to speak a word of comfort to Your people and magnify Your goodness to them. And to each of us, we pray that we might ascribe to You all the honor and the glory, both now and forever. We pray for their situations in this country and world. We know that in the midst of it all, You are saving that people and bringing them to that purpose of grace which You gave them in Christ Jesus before the world began. Nothing done in time can alter that purpose, and nothing that can be done by man can bring glory to man's name. But Your purpose of grace and Your glory is an accomplished thing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for Your goodness in Him, for every blessing that we receive in Christ. We thank You for this place and for this opportunity to worship You. And we praise Your name, the worthy name of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb slain that was ever living when John saw You in the Revelation. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Hymn number 618, Accepted in the Beloved. Thank you.
Turn with me tonight in the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 5. I'll read one verse of scripture to you here in Hosea 5. That is the last verse. And this is what the Lord says in regard to His people. Of course, they are typified in the nation of Israel, but the words are truly and spiritually to spiritual Israel, His elect. Verse 15, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early. I entitle this message, The Waves. We're glad to have our friends from Kentucky visiting with us. But as you know, when they come, storms come with them. They almost have a perfect record. And when the storms come, the TV shows, the weather on TV, it always shows the beach. It always shows the big waves coming in. But the truth is, even when the big storms, the hurricanes and tropical storms, even when they're not here or near, there are still waves at that beach. Go down there any time, night or day, and you have these waves coming in. And I've always thought that they were kind of like how it is in the life of a believer, of all God's people. And I've likened the believer's life to standing on the beach in the surf. Most everybody has done that, gone and stood there in the edge of the surf. And it's never a question as to whether another wave is coming. That's never an issue. It is. It's an evidence that God is still on His throne. But the question is, how quickly will the next wave come? And how severe will it be? I've seen some waves come and they just brush your knees, kinda. And I've seen some come that would knock you down to the point that you would think you were drowning. But as it is in the Scriptures, as we're taught in the Scriptures, God's people know that these waves, just like those natural waves, they come from God. They're everyone sent of God. And that's what the Lord is saying regarding His people and the care and the keeping of His people. He said, in their affliction, they will seek Me early. They'll seek Me early. And we have to know, based on this verse and the whole New Testament and places in the Old Testament too, we'll have to know that He sends the affliction, every affliction. He is the author of every trial. He causes every trouble to be, every persecution that we are involved in, and every trouble, not only to ourselves, but to those closest to us, our dear families, our dear friends and brethren. Sometimes their afflictions affect us more than our own, trouble us more than our own. But we know that He works all things after the counsel of His own will. He is the absolute sovereign over all things. And we do well when we remember that these ways, when we remember who it is that sends these ways. Turn over in your Bibles also to Psalm 107. And look at what it says in verse 25. He's talking about waves and storms and winds. Verse 25, it says, "For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves thereof." He's the cause of that wave, that wind that makes the wave, that storm. And then look at what it says in verse 29. It says, "He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still." He does one thing, and He does the other thing, and He does everything in between. He's the one that brings the wave. He's the one that calms the waves. And we know, if we know this truth, if we know the gospel, we are saved in Christ, regardless, made the righteousness of God in Him, complete in Him, and secure in Him. God has saved us, and therefore He is saving us and shall save us, not only from our sins, but also from our sinfulness, our weakness, our waywardness, our unbelief. And we see this often and over again in both the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints. Their experience was the same. But no matter how many ways, no matter how many of these troubles or afflictions, there was one way that they could not bear and didn't have to bear, which was endured by the Lord. Turn over to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. And listen to the Messiah on the cross. People who read the Psalms and they just get a superficial, inspirational message out of it, they miss the meaning of this book. Oftentimes, when we hear David or one of the psalmists talking, it is really the Messiah talking. And here's what he says from the cross. Psalm 42 and verse 7. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. The judgment of God in the matter of the sins of His people, the wrath of God against their sins, all the waves and billows of divine judgment, they came on and cast themselves upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are no more. We'll never have to face them. We'll never have to wonder about it. But look back here in Psalm 107 again. Because the Lord is the one that brings about the contrast in all of our circumstances, whether He's raising the wave or whether He's calming the wave. But look here in Psalm 107, verse 33. It says, He turns rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground. This doesn't sound good, does it? A fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there He maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blessed them also, so that they are multiplied greatly. He suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He acts toward all men. He acts as a sovereign dealing with all men, but contrary to what everybody said. We're not all in this together. The latest wave or the latest affliction, everybody says, well, we'll just all pitch in because we're all in this together. No, we're not. Because this is not all working together for good to them that don't love God, that don't know God. It's working together quite differently for those that do love God, who do know God, who are the called according to His purpose. And in the midst of all of these things, God's people see the clearest manifestations of His grace and power. The people He's talking about here in Psalm 107, He says in verse 24, "These see the works of the Lord, and His wonders in the deep." When earthly trouble or judgment or things of that nature, such as this virus, when all these things come about to men and upon men, naturally, it says that they curse God, that they repent not to give Him the glory. You heard anybody these days on the news or national TV or anything else saying anything about "this is the Lord" and saying what His will is in doing it, which is to save His people and glorify His name? I haven't heard anything. But in this psalm is a pattern of the experience of God's elect, and we read and notice this when we look at the word "then." Then. When? Then. Because the word "then" appears in this psalm several times. And it also appears with the word "oh." Look at what it says here in verse 15. "Oh." That's a sigh expressing a desire. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." But the sad thing is, even His people, even those redeemed by His blood, even those who have been the objects of His grace, they fail to do it so much. "For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near to the gates of death." Then. It's a sad pattern. "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses." They're just going along. Everything's hunky-dory. Everything's peachy. Everything's good. And the Lord sends trouble or affliction that brings us like a wave crushing down on us, brings us to the ground. Then we cry to the Lord. Verse 20. "He sent them His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men." works of mercy,
works of grace.
And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind which lifts up the waves thereof. And they mount up to heaven. I can just see this on a ship right now. I don't know if you've ever been on a boat in the sea in a bad wind, but if it's one thing it does, it goes up and it goes down and it goes over each and every wave. It launches, as they say, and then it comes crashing down. He says, they mount up to heaven and they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. You ever been there? Has God ever sent you one of those waves that causes you to just launch up into heaven and come crashing down to earth, that makes you reel and stagger? It so hits you that you cannot even begin to stand almost on your own two feet, and you're at your wit's end. Then, verse 28, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their diseases. Let me read you something in the book of Jonah. You remember Jonah, that fellow that we always blame for his disobedience getting him into trouble? Well, he deserves the blame, but no more than you or me. But chapter 2 says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. He'd been going his own way, setting his own plan, doing his own thing, as we say. And now, he's in the bottom of the sea, in the belly of the fish. And he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. Out of the belly of hell I cried I, and Thou heardest my voice. What are you doing down there, Jonah? God put me there. God sent me away. God got my attention. God's going to keep me. I'm going to do His will. He's going to preserve me, even if it kills me. For Thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All Thy billows and Thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of Thy sight, yet I will look again toward Thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet Thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. That's the way it is in every case. Not only when the Lord saved us from our sins by Christ on the cross, by that wave of His judgment coming upon Him to deliver us and to rescue us and to save us, but in all of our experience of life, in all our doings, in all our afflictions that are sent from Him to bring us about again to Himself, He's our Savior. Because if left to ourselves, if God lets us do what we want, if He gives us all we pray for, if He lets us remain centered on what our minds and hearts are centered on and doesn't drive us back to Himself, we'll perish. When I see this, when I read it, when I think about it, and I've often thought about it. When I do, I think about this. What weak, wretched, wandering sinners we still are in this flesh. Paul said it about as clear as it can be. Oh, wretched man that I am. Not that I was, but that I am. We have no confidence in the flesh. But this is the way the flesh always goes. It always goes away from God. And He sends these ways. You might not get a wave like I get. But if you're His child, you're going to get them. You probably have already got them. There's more to come. He does this. God sends these waves, I'm calling them, to remind us that we are every day the same in our need for His grace and mercy every minute, every day, and all our days. We need Him just as much now as we did the day we first believed. Every child of God is going to be kept by God. And this is one of His means by which He keeps us fleeing to, keeps us needy of, keeps us coming to Christ. To whom? Coming. And He does this to drive us from self-righteousness. We get to flying pretty high. We're like a tough guy on the beach, standing there in the waves, the surf, and he's got brawn, he's got muscles. That little wave comes along and it doesn't even faze him. But the next one knocks him completely down. God sends these waves to drive from us all our self-righteousness. He sends these waves to humble us. He sends this wave to deliver us from haughtiness and all these things. He sends these waves that we might have compassion on somebody who gets knocked down by the same kind of wave. We're part of trial and tribulation and anguish of soul and all these things that the Lord in His wisdom and goodness sends to us. They are in part that we might have compassion on the other of the Lord's people. He does it to keep us from pride. He resists the proud. Wouldn't you say that's what a wave is? It's resistance put against a person. He resisteth the proud. He's always going to resist the proud. Every one of the Lord's people are going to make their boast in Him, of Him. He does it to deliver us from self-sufficiency. We don't need the Lord, really. We're saved and everything's well. Family's well. Money in the bank. Health's good. Everything's just fine. I'm telling you, He'll show us that we need Him. He'll remind us. And He does it to make known the faith that we have. You see, that's the only faith you really have. The faith you have in the midst of the wave. These things don't give us faith. God gives us faith. But they sure do reveal whether we've got it or not. What a needy bunch of sinners we are. He shows us how we'll react. He shows the world how we react. And He does it to manifest His power. Our strength is not strength at all. His strength is manifest in weakness, our weakness. He does it to manifest His power and His strength and His ability to save and His glory in how He does it. You think you know how. When the waves come, you think you know how everything, how God's got to do to work everything out to deliver you. You don't know squat, as we say. He most likely will not use that method or means or whatever it is to do it the way you think He'll do it. He'll do it. But He'll do it in such a way that He alone gets the glory. It reminds us of our great sinfulness, need. And it reminds us, He does it to show and to remind us what a great, merciful, gracious God and Savior we have. Because when we do it, and when He sends the wave, then we call upon Him. He didn't say like we would say, "I told you so." He doesn't laugh at his people in their hurt and say, "Ha ha, aren't so strong, are you?" No, he rescues them time and time again. Little ways, medium ways, big ways. Whatever it takes, he's going to keep his people. They're going to believe on him. They're going to trust in him. They're going to rely on him if he has to send wave after wave after wave. You see, that Psalm 107 begins with these words, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and for his mercy endureth forever." I am so thankful that the Lord doesn't have a limit on mercy. I'm so thankful that he has not run out of mercy, though I think at times I'll use up every bit he has. But I remember, his mercy endureth forever. And like a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame. He remembers that we're dust. And he says this by the psalmist in Psalm 89. "I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him." Now listen to the next part. "His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in the heaven." God's faithful to his people because he's faithful to his Son. Not because they're faithful to the Son, but because he's faithful to the Son, and the Son is faithful to him. And he delivers us, and he rescues us, and he brings us out of our distresses. And one day he will do so finally, never to be in them again. I'll be glad when the waves are over. I'll be glad when that last wave washes me onto, as the old hymn writer said, that heavenly shore. John, when he saw in the Revelation, in chapter 21 and verse 1, he said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." and there was no more sea. No more waves. No more judgments. No more chastisement. No more waves that leave us reeling. When we hear of the loss of a loved one or a friend, I told someone about a friend's child who died, and another person that died. I could tell it's like a wave. Just shock you, hurts you, makes you sad. Maybe our own afflictions. Maybe trouble with our children. Maybe our relationships. Can be anything. God sends it. But he says it's a little while. It's a little while. The waves. Our Father, we pray that you might, in your wisdom and love and purpose, keep us ever washed to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep us, Lord, calling out and knowing your salvation and deliverance. May we praise you for it for all eternity. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen.